What is the marine kingdom and the Nephilim demons of the sea? Are they physical beings, or is this just a spiritual phenomenon? By the end of this video, I believe I'll shed some light on those questions. Marine spirits, or the marine kingdom, is a phrase that's used in some expressions of the Christian charismatic faith. It's associated with beliefs related to demonic oppression and possession. Deliverance ministries exercise what they sometimes relate to marine spirits and the marine kingdom. The Bible never references marine spirits or a marine kingdom, but there are a few verses that are very interesting that allude to that. We'll look first at the spiritual aspect of this and then at the physical, which would be Nephilim offspring from the fallen angels, which are half fallen angel and half sea creature. This is a very interesting reference in relation to this, and this is in Mark 5:12 through 13, when Jesus casted out the demons and their first reaction was to run and drown themselves in the sea. So all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the swine that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. Matthew 12:43 also references demons and their relation to water. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. There's another reference in relation to the sea that we'll get into towards the end of the video, but now I want to look at the possibility of some physical Nephilim offspring from the fallen angels that are created and living in the sea, which would be a physical being with a demonic fallen spirit. Genesis 6:4, of course, we know the fallen angels mated with earth women and created giants. The Book of Giants, which, if documenting a fact of history, or at least a belief that used to go around, and what people in the ancient times were talking about and telling stories about, these texts are very fragmented, so you only get pieces of what's being said. But one fragment from the Book of Giants here says, 200 donkeys, 200 asses, 200 rams of the flock, 200 goats, 200 beasts of the field from every animal, from every bird, were chosen for miscegenation. Miscegenation is the mixing of two different types of beings who are considered to be of different races. This is a word for mixing kinds. This next fragment is also from the Book of Giants, and it says, "They defiled, they begot giants and monsters, they begot, and behold, all the earth was corrupted." According to this, it sounds like the fallen angels mated not only with women, but also with animals, and they created the giants with the women and monsters with the animals. According to Ocean Literacy and UNESCO.org, this says only about 5% of the ocean has been explored and charted by humans. The rest of the ocean, and especially its depths, are still unknown. If these Nephilim sea creatures do exist, this may be one way that the giants came back on the earth after the flood of Noah. This first creature that we'll look at is known as the Ninjin. Over the past few years, rumors have circulated in Japan about the existence of Arctic humanoid life forms inhabiting the icy waters of Antarctica. Whale research ships are said to have spotted some of these beings. They're said to be completely white in color with an estimated length of 20 to 30 meters. According to one account, crew members on deck observed what they initially thought was a foreign submarine in the distance. When they approached, however, it became clear from the irregular shape of the thing that it was not man-made, it was alive. The creature quickly disappeared underwater. If these creatures do inhabit the waters around Antarctica, this may be one reason why people are not allowed to go and visit Antarctica. Most of the nations of the world have agreed to not allow any visitors to go there under any circumstances besides complete scientific research in which the scientists are watched and controlled and probably sign non-disclosure agreements and have some high level of security clearance. Now, that creature may just be a myth, but these next two instances are proven to be actual true anomalies in the sea. The instance known as the bloop was a powerful ultra-low frequency underwater sound of uncertain origin detected by NOAA, the National Ocean and Atmospheric Administration, in 1997 in the South Pacific. According to earlier speculations, the sound would have been emitted by a very large still undiscovered marine mammal, which was named Bloop after the sound. In 2012, however, NOAA determined that the sound was consistent with glacier movements such as ice calving or an ice quake or some other type of ice movement in Antarctica. This next story is about a great white shark that was eaten by something bigger than itself. Scientists placed a tracking device on the back of a 9-foot great white shark. The device showed that the shark was suddenly dragged deep into the water and exposed to high temperatures, indicating that it was inside of another animal's digestive system. After years of this remaining a mystery, scientists have recently come out and said they believe this is tied to a colossal great white shark, 116 feet in length, but it wouldn't be surprising to me if there was some mysterious creature that was out there that they were trying to hide and to come up with a cover story for. Especially if it's known that this creature is of Nephilim origins, then it absolutely would be a creature that they're trying to get a hold of, extract its DNA, or use for whatever purposes, and that would be a 100% classified secret mission. This is probably a good point to mention the Leviathan, but from what I see, it seems like the Lord absolutely made the Leviathan. Whenever people tie the Leviathan to being evil, to me, I'm not sure if that makes sense because of these verses in Psalm 104, 25 through 26. Here's the sea, vast and wide, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things both great and small. There the ships pass, and Leviathan, which you formed, to frolic there. Another interesting verse in relation to the sea and creatures, and at least God's control over them, is Matthew 17, 27. This is Jesus talking to Peter when they needed the temple tax and didn't have any money with them. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. And when you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and you. Mermaids are another hybrid creature that have been talked about for a long time, and if their existence is true, they're definitely Nephilim fallen in nature. Mermaids have a long history dating back to ancient times. The first known mermaid stories appeared in Assyria back in 1000 BC. On the map titled A New and Most Exact Description of America, or the Fourth Part of the World, we can see in one location of the sea where they believed it was rumored to have mermaids living in it. We can also see at the south end of South America, there in Patagonia, are the Patagones, or the Nephilim Giants of Patagonia. Comedian Tony Woods went on the Joe Rogan podcast and told a story about when he says that he saw a mermaid.
I saw a mermaid in Seychelles, Africa. Me and this little French boy, and they said, don't swim in the lagoon after dark. Everybody's up at the bar, and me and him getting the water. From a distance, you see something coming like a missile, but it's going, right? It's going fast, and we both kind of stop. And then it turns and it jumps out of the water. And it's maybe at least 10, 12 feet long, man. And it do like this and look at both of us and go, whoop. The back of him was fish. His head was humanoid, eyes about so big. The water was about this deep. Didn't make a splash or nothing. And then and me and him turned around, we running, and everybody's coming down there laughing, got their drinks in their hand. We're like, no, that. And the little boy, his mom is apologizing to me, saying he has a very vivid imagination, saying, no, listen, we saw a fish man. It wasn't like a mermaid. Didn't look feminine at all.
Look at man.
A fucking dude who said, get the out the pool.
Similar on this topic is the logo for Starbucks, which is an entity that's known for being half beautiful woman, half fish, which is known for luring sailors to shipwrecks and their death. While we look at these different creatures that live in the sea, I find it very interesting that many of these UFO sightings that people, and even the ones that our United States government are openly speaking about, are happening over the oceans and the coasts of America. Ryan Graves, the military whistleblower on this subject, said every time that they would go out to do their test flights, they would encounter these objects flying over the ocean. Again, much of the footage that has been released now of these strange phenomenons flying in the sky are encounters that are happening over water, just like the Tic Tac incident. This happened off the coast of Southern California. I find it very interesting that not far from that encounter are the Channel Islands and Catalina Island, which is known to have Nephilim bones, the bones of giants, and a history of giants on these islands. Is this some sort of connection here? Not far from these Nephilim bones, are we encountering these fallen, what I believe to be fallen things flying in the sky? I'll leave that up to you to decide. Stephen Greer, who's someone who's known for promoting this UFO thing and connecting aliens to the human race, he's obsessed with doing this, has also been seen doing ritualistic New Age practices with groups of people on the coastlines of America and then off the coast right over the ocean. Some of these fallen lights, these entities appear in the sky. We know, of course, all throughout history, there's been fallen false idols and false gods that are associated with the sea and with water. The list of these entities goes on and on. For Egypt alone, there's 11. In Africa, they have over 15. Similar numbers in East Asia. And the list goes on and on, really tying some sort of spiritual connection to water, or at least it seems to be that way. Exodus 24 further describes this possibility, saying, "You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below." I also found this verse interesting and don't really understand what the relation is of it. I'm sure the Lord will reveal it to us when the time comes, but at Jesus' second coming, when the new heaven and the new earth is created, then there's actually no more sea on the earth. In Revelation 21 verse 1, it says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea." The ocean in itself is still a blessing and not evil. Jesus' disciples were fishermen. Jesus ate fish on multiple occasions, but it seems like there may be something more going on physically and spiritually in relation to the sea. Don't forget that Jesus has authority over all of this as well. He calms the storms on the sea, he walks on top of the sea, and he commands everything that's within it to do as he commands. Just like when he commanded the demons to go into the swine and they drowned themselves in the sea, as well as when Jesus told his disciples to cast their net on the other side of the boat and they pulled up a massive haul of fish. Jesus is in control of all of these realms. We shouldn't be fearful of the sea or any of this. There just may be something more in a spiritual relation to the sea and whatever this marine kingdom is. Something worth praying about, something worth researching. Let me know in the comments what you think. I pray you all are well. Thanks for watching, and God bless.